This ASAP video is brought to you by Alpha Dog Sports. Leave no doubt, this is a one-stop shop for all of your athletic development products. AlphaDogSports.com. This is Ed Sicali with Athletic Strength and Power Podcasts. I'm in Knoxville, Tennessee today, at the home of the Vols, with assistant strength coach Gregory Adamson. Greg, welcome to our podcast, and it's great to be here with you.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
You know, we've seen you in a lot of places, bumped into each other in some clinics and things like that. We've caught you at the tail end of some of your workouts with some of your soccer stars. But here we are talking strength training today with you. And before we talk, tell us a little bit about this Tennessee weather today. It's kind of nice down here.
It's February 24th, and it's about 75 degrees. We couldn't ask for better weather. 2 years ago, you know, my wife reminded me that we had about 9 inches of snow. I'll take this any day. The debate right now is, do we wear shorts to the clinic tomorrow or not?
Yeah, that's not much of a debate now. I'm telling you what, shorts are coming out. Let me ask you, Coach, you know, you say your wife's a nutritionist, and at the same time, sounds like you frequent a donut place here in town. You tell me it's the best donuts in the world or something like that.
Yeah, we actually had a Duck Donuts open up here not too long ago. One of the original ones is in a town my sister lives in, and my wife and I thought I wasn't a strength coach and she wasn't a dietitian. We should open one in Knoxville. We'd probably do very well, and someone actually did that, and you got about a two-hour wait sometimes to get your fresh six-pack of donuts, and so, you know, we just got to make sure we don't go there too often. The kids love it.
Now, for somebody like me, you know, I don't want all the sweet stuff. Do they have more of a high-protein donut for me?
No, it's just straight donuts.
I'll keep that in mind. I'll still go there maybe then. Tell us a little bit about some of the teams you're working with. I know you work with a swim team and the soccer team. Is there anything else that we should know about?
Yeah, I work with soccer here, men's and women's swimming, and rowing. Got about 120 student-athletes I work with daily and then oversee, you know, certain applied performance initiatives that we have within the department.
There's got to be some challenges with training a swim team. When you're training athletes with different events, wouldn't that present some sort of different things that you got to accomplish when that whole team is present? How do you pull that off?
Yeah, definitely. We actually have anywhere at any time 4 to 8 different workouts going. You know, and it's one of those things, it's very individual, it's very event-based, and then you get kids that have a range of events. So it's one of those things, you know, you pull it off with a great staff around you, great coaches, and most importantly, great student-athletes. I think the biggest thing we've worked on this year is, you know, oftentimes in swimming, you hear it considered dry land training. You know, we've tried to change the mentality of our kids that this is savage training. You know, this is going to help you be more of a savage in the water. And so there's a connection to what we're doing so they can take it to the water or the blocks or turn it off the wall. And so I think the best thing we do is we spend a 4-week phase as a team at the start of the year where everybody does the exact same thing. And we call that our foundational phase. And we go over within that first month where we have more time with the student athletes, every single exercise they might see throughout the year. So after that 4-week foundational phase, as we start to split off based off of what they're doing specifically, they've seen that exercise before in a teaching setting. And so, you know, I'm very blessed that our head coach allows us to take that much time. But they'll be in the weight room anywhere, you know, 6 hours a week those first 4 weeks. And so we're going to go 4 days a week for about 60 to 90 minutes, and classes in session. We're going to teach. We're going to go around. We're going to get the swim coaches in there teaching. We want them to feel the movements as well. And then that way, like I said, they can take that and move on. And I'd be remiss to not mention Vern Gambetta. He does a great job. He's known our head coach for over 25 years. They've known each other since 1988. He's a close friend and consultant and does a good job as well. He's worked with Matt for a long time. Matt Kredich, our head swim coach. And that's kind of been the basis of it all, is how well can we teach these kids. So that way, when we break off, we can roll.
Coach, as we both know, sports science has crept its way into the strength training field big time, and especially over the last 6-7 years. And now it's culminated, and it's a really big deal. Thinking and keeping sports science in mind, how do you guys implement sports science into some of the sports teams that you're training at the present time?
You know, I think the big thing we're looking at is how can we apply it to performance? You know, and you've heard the term applied performance, and we're big believers in that. You know, so we've got different things we'll implement. It's twofold, you know. I mean, with soccer, we'll utilize GPS and we'll look at that external load. But from an internal perspective, we work with a company called Whoop, and we'll highlight what we like to call our top-tier athletes. And so I actually oversee that, and it's not just the teams I work with. I work with kids from, you know, softball, men's and women's golf, whatever that sport may be, track and field, et cetera. Some of our top-tier athletes that the coaches decide, hey, this kid truly wants to be great. And so they're our special operators, and that's how we look at them. They operate a little bit differently. We'll meet with them, and they'll wear a Whoop, and it's going to monitor them 24/7. It's going to give them an internal reading. It's going to give them a heart rate variability based off of the last 5 minutes of their deep wave sleep. It's going to show them the quality of their sleep. And we'll get together with that group about every 3 to 4 weeks. We'll answer questions. We'll talk about it. You know, it's led to some great discussion amongst our student athletes and some real discussion. You know, I remember we had a talk with a certain student athlete about going out. Couldn't understand why the recovery score was low, even though they didn't go out the night before. You know, and the question is, well, did you go out then 2 nights out? Well, yeah. And it's for them realizing when they go out and they have drinks, what that might not do the next day, but the next 2 to 3 days or 4 days, you know. And so I got to credit our kids for being honest and wanting that feedback, you know. And so it's one of those things, I think, how can we apply it to that certain individual? If we were to do that team-wide, there's certain kids that wouldn't want to do it. So if they don't want to invest, we're not going to invest back. And that's okay. We ask these kids to do a lot, and we ask a lot of their time, and we respect that. So that's one way we look at it. You know, in swim, we work with 1080. We've looked at different things like that from a towing perspective and power perspective. And so, I mean, there's all these companies out there. You know, with soccer, we work with Fusionetics, and we'll look at, you know, we do a 4 to 5 week movement screen consistently, looking at what we're doing from a two-legged squat, two-leg heel elevated, and then a right leg and a left leg. Myself and our ATC look at that every 4 to 5 weeks. And so I think a lot of it just depends on the team you're working with, the head coach, and then what's out there that's going to help that team have actionable data that's going to actually make a difference. If there's not going to be something actionable, we're not going to go down that. I think, you know, as you looked at it evolve, the first, even myself, if I look at myself way back when, you know, working with football here, there's certain things you do. You want to make sure that there's going to be a certain carryover now and then right away. You know what I mean? Right away and then later on. It's a hot topic. It's a fancy word. But I think it's no different than, you know, obviously we'll implement some velocity-based training with certain sports. But it's no different than the implementation of certain things that's been going on for hundreds of years. You know, and just looking at that.
Well, Greg, you love this job. You love what you do and the whole profession. How did you get into it, and when did you get your start, and how did you end up right here in Knoxville, Tennessee?
It's a great question. You know, in high school, played football, had 3 knee surgeries, so kind of naturally had a lot of physical therapy, a lot of questions, was going to walk on play at Louisville. And then it's funny. My dad was working in South Carolina at the time. He lived near a school called Winthrop University, said, hey, why don't you apply? I applied. I got a full ride academically, ended up going there. They didn't have football. So it was kind of like, what do I do? You know, I can't turn down a free education. And so I started getting into coaching, was coaching out at the high school, started taking exercise science, got into it, and was a strength coach at Rock Hill High, and then an intern at Winthrop. And then it just led to GA up at Central Michigan. I was up there for a couple years. My wife's a dietitian. She, once we got married, she came back down south. Had my highest paying job for a year. I was a fitness consultant. And then I was actually a first grade basketball and then an intern again. You know, so I was a first grade basketball coach and a strength and conditioning intern at Winthrop, and the assistant left. And having been to school there, having been around, you know, known a lot of people there, it was a good first job. And so I was there for a while. Didn't know if I'd ever leave. You know, the pay might not have been what some people would think, but the quality of life was off the charts. I went to school there, met my wife there, rode my bike to work, lived 1.5 miles from the weight room. You know, and so I never really looked for jobs, just kind of, and that's not how I'm wired anyways. I love my kids so much that I'm around every day. I've got really no concern on what's going on outside of me except for what's in front of me. you know, but I was blessed to get an opportunity. Coach Lawson gave me a chance to come to Tennessee and couldn't really pass up on that. And since I've been here, my role's looked a little bit differently. It's progressed, and I'm in a great place. You know, I think I tell our interns or young kids coming up when they look at where should I go work or what should I go do, I think something you need to really consider is what's your relationship going to be with the head coaches you work with? That's going to dictate that quality of life and that quality of impact. And if you're about that impact, you've got to make sure you're in a place where you can have the impact you desire as a coach.
Coach, before we go, you're sitting in an office right now, right outside a weight room that's basically decimated and taken completely apart. But before long, walls are going to come crashing down. There's a whole lot going on here. What's going on?
We're actually in a very blessed position. We're getting ready to redo this weight room. We're going to knock down a couple walls, shave the building, and it's going to go into what was the old football locker room and football equipment room. They're going to expand the football practice fields, and so our Olympic athletes will have a new space to train. Within that, we're going to have another nutrition area. We're going to have a applied performance lab that we actually have a donor behind. It'll be the Carmichael Sports Science Applied Performance Lab. And so we're blessed to have that. It's going to be, you know, over the next year, we're going to be training all over campus. We actually built a little auxiliary weight room at the Indoor Convention Center for our track team. We put some equipment out at our volleyball training center. We've put some equipment at our aquatic center. So we've built some auxiliary spaces. We're blessed to be able to utilize the football LaPorte Training Center, you know, and that's one of a kind. So I think it's definitely, you know, it's funny, we talked right before. It's pretty quiet in here right now, quiet it's ever been, you know, and you look out there and you don't see the equipment. But from a long-term perspective, I know our student-athletes are extremely excited about what's going to happen for them.
Well, I guess in a lot of ways, things are shaping up around here in Knoxville, Tennessee, at the University of Tennessee. Coach Greg Adamson, we really appreciate you taking a little bit of time out of your day. I know you got some swimmers coming in later in about an hour, but we really appreciate you coming on our ASAP Athletic Strength and Power podcast. It's been real, and we really appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys having me. Always love having you guys down here, and very excited, and go Vols.